This is Retro Sports Radio. Visit RetroSeasons.com for more sports history.
There's something magic about the Red Sox, something glorious about the old town team that brings out the best in New Englanders. Each spring, it begins anew as the good folks from Eastport to Block Island, from B Street to the Berkshires, assemble around the tribal meeting house called Fenway Park. Only the real old-timers remember the glory days of the early 20th century when the Red Sox won pennant after pennant, series after series. Since those early days, championships have been few and far between. Yet the glorious dream never dies. Many fans remember the 46 Sox, the team of Williams, Pesky, and Dorr. And a lot more Red Sox fans still daydream about the impossible dream of 67 with Lonborg and Hawk and Rico and Yaz and Canigliaro.
Lonborg is within one out of his biggest victory ever, his 22nd of the year, and his first over the Twins. The pitch is looped towards shortstop. Petrocelli's back. He's got it. The Red Sox win.
Red Sox fans also remember their team losing the division title by a half game to the Tigers in the strike-abbreviated season of 72. And there was the sad and sorrowful fall of 74 for Red Sox fans to reflect upon. Likewise, the spring of 1975 offered little for Red Sox fans to cheer about, as all-star catcher Carlton Fisk would be idled with a broken arm as the team headed north for opening day. It was a year full of surprises. To most Bostonians, when the season began, Lynn was a city somewhere north of Boston. Rice was a menu selection at any Chinese restaurant. And Wise was a potato chip company. By season's end, the most austere citizens of the hub blandly referred to them as Fred, Jim, and Rick. As the super season of 75 became a reality, two facts became self-evident. One, Tom Yawkey's farm system had produced a bumper crop of outstanding talent. And two, the trades of Dick O'Connell in 1974 had blossomed into fruition in 1975. But for the Super Sox of 75, the season really began on Tuesday, April 8th, before the usual sold-out gathering of the clan at Fenway. Hank Aaron graced Fenway Park for the first time in an American League uniform and received a tremendous ovation. There were two other wild ovations this day. The first when Tony Canigliaro was introduced. The second when this valiant comeback player did his thing with the bat.
And the roar you're going to hear will be for number 25, his return to Fenway Park, Tony Canigliaro. As the groundswell continues for Tony C in his comeback in the Red Sox uniform. Possibly the sports story of the year. Here's a line drive, base hit to right field. Tony's got a base hit.
The Red Sox split their first two games of the season with the Brewers and then took off for Baltimore and New York. In the opener against the Orioles, the Sox charged from behind to win. Rick Burleson tied the game in the ninth, and then Captain Carl took over in the 12th.
There's a long drive by Yastrzemski. Hit way back, it is gone! And the Red Sox lead 6-5.
Despite the fine start, the Sox finished the month of April with a 7-9 record. But the Sox started rolling along in May, going 16-9 for the month. On Sunday, May 18th, against the Kansas City Royals, Bernie Carbo single-handedly snapped a Red Sox five-game losing streak.
All right, the Red Sox with a threat here in the third inning. Doug Griffin representing the tying run at second base, and Tim Blackwell off first. Nellie Bryles on the mound has pitched shutout ball so far, ready to pitch to Bernie Carbo. Here's the set. The look back towards second, and here it is. The long drive, deep toward right field. This may have the legs to make it. It is going, it is up, and it is gone. Home run, Red Sox. 3-1 Boston as Bernie Carbo sends the Red Sox out in front. Okay, here is Bernardo Carbo once again. He's got a couple of hits in the ball game. One of them a home run off Bryles that has put the Red Sox where they are right now, a 3-1 lead. Two out here in the fifth inning. Bryles ready. The windup, the pitch. Bernie swings. There's a high drive toward left field. This may be out of here. It is up into the screen. A home run again for Carbo, and Boston leads 4-1. Maybe the turning point of the season occurred in mid-May when the Sox swept a three-game series from the Oakland A's. In a key game, Bill Lee pitched a two-hit shutout, while the Sox got home runs from Jim Rice, Juan Benicas, and Tony Conigliaro, his last as a major leaguer.
What a pitch, long drive, left field, way back. This is going to go over everything. It's way out in the blackness of the night. Home run, Conigliaro, 4-0 Boston.
After shutting out the A's, the space cowboy Bill Lee came right back to shut out the Angels. The next day, the Sox lost not only the game, but their tempers as well. Yastrzemski made this dramatic forced exit.
3-2 count. Figueroa throws, and it's strike three called, and Yaz now started up the first baseline. He is just putting his hands on his hips and looking out. He started to say something. Now he is coming back. He dusts off home plate, and now he puts dirt on home plate, and he is run out. Throws his helmet down, and Yastrzemski's ejected from the game. And he gets a big hand.
One of the keys to the Red Sox success was the strong emergence of their young pitchers. On June 3rd, Dick Pohl beat the White Sox 4-0. Jim Rice provided the game-winning hit in the first inning.
Here's the set. And the pitch. Long drive, left field, going to hit the wall. It's going to go over the wall and into the screen. Home run, Jim Rice, 3-0 Red Sox.
By mid-June, Fred Lynn had already established his superstar credentials with the Red Sox fans. But on the night of June 19th in Detroit, all the world stood up and took notice.
Curveball, long drive, right field, way up, forget it. Home run, upper deck for Freddie Lynn. Red Sox lead 3-0. Burleson at third, Yastrzemski at first. Coleman works. And there goes a high shot to right field. That's up, it's towering, it's gone. It's on the roof. Freddie Lynn hit one on the roof in Detroit for his second home run. And the Red Sox now lead by a 6-1 score.
Pitches to Lynn. There's a shot, left field, deep, way back, and it's off the scoreboard. Here's Burleson in to score. Here comes Yastrzemski around to score. Lynn is going into third base. He's got a triple. Two more runs batted in, and Lynn has driven in seven.
And there goes a shot deep to right field. High in the air, and we watch this one go into the upper deck. His third home run of the night. As he goes 5-for-6 with 3 home runs and 10 runs batted in.
This program not always is a front runner, Fred, but this time it has to be because of your magnificent performance in Detroit. First of all, congratulations on that, and have you gotten over it yet?
Thanks, Ned. I have gotten over it. You know, I've been spending a lot of time at the pool, so I don't have to be in my room.
I guess nobody ever even dreams of having a night like that, do they?
No, certainly not. Especially me. I, you know, don't consider myself a home run hitter, and to hit 3 in the game and almost hit 4, you know, that was really something for me.
Over the first 63 games of the season, veteran Bob Montgomery and youngster Tim Blackwell filled in admirably for injured catcher Carlton Fisk. Motti with his clutch hitting and Blackwell with his mitt. On June 23rd, Fisk returned to the lineup and immediately set off a fuse of action that would carry the Red Sox into first place to stay in the American League East. On June 26th, the Yankees came to Boston for 4 important games. This series was a box office smash and a baseball buff's dream. The 136,000 people who witnessed it saw baseball as it was meant to be played. In Game 1, the diehard battery of Louis Tiant and Carlton Fisk finished the Yankees.
Long high fly ball. Deep left field. Way back, way back. It is gone. Fisk has got his first home run of the year. And look at him jumping down. He's the happiest guy in Massachusetts. Carlton Fisk, his first home run of the year.
Runners lead from first and second. Tiant looks down, gets the sign. Into that slow set and jiggling motion. Waits, looks, throws. Strike three called. The game's over. The Red Sox win the first one 6-1.
In game two, Rick Wise beat the Yankees. But the Red Sox lost the next game 8-6. In game four, Yankee killer Roger Maret battled Catfish Hunter on even terms for 8 innings. In the bottom of the inning, Bernie Carbo and Rick Burleson put the Sox in front.
A drive off toward right field, hooking away from Bond, if it stays fair. Fair ball, bounces into the seat. Carbo scores. Burleson has doubled. 3-2 Boston.
Maret took over from there and mowed down the Yankees to put the Sox in first place to stay.
Coggins off first. He represents the tying run. Here's the set by Maret. The pitch into the plate. Fly ball, right center field. Rick Miller is under it. Rick Miller has got it, and the ball game is over as the Red Sox beat the Yankees 3-2 and take the series 3 games out of 4 and go into first place again in the American League East.
One of the big stories of the season was a successful comeback by Rick Wise. He won 19 big games for the Red Sox and on July 2nd came within 1 out of a no-hitter. After retiring the first 2 batters, he walked Bill Sharp, and George Scott broke up the no-hit bid by belting a 2-run homer.
Rick goes into the stretch, drops to the belt. Here's his pitch. Fly ball, deep left center field. There goes the no-hitter, and there goes the shutout. It's a home run.
From July 7th through the 20th, the Red Hot Sox won 10 straight. On July 10th, in the middle of that winning streak, the Sox rallied back to beat Minnesota and keep it alive. The Goldust twins, Lynn and Rice, got it started in the 8th.
Red Sox trail 8-4. Here it comes. There's a fly ball, deep left center field, that's going to be off the wall. Doyle scores easily. Rice is going for 2. He's got himself a double, and now it's 8-5. 1-2 to Lynn. Here's the set by Albury and the pitch. And he hits a fly ball toward left field, fairly deep. A home run for Lynn, and now it's 8-7.
Then in the 9th, Cecil Cooper tied it, and Doug Griffin and Rice pulled it out.
Johnson delivers. Long drive, deep right center field. Way out, it's gone. Game tied up. 8-8. Home run, Cecil Cooper. The 1-0 pitch to Griff. Line drive, right center field for a base hit. And the lead run, the winning run is on first. Doug Griffin, a pinch single, lining it into right center. Now the set by the pitcher Bergmeier. 3-2 to Rice. The pause, the pitch. Law drive into left center field. It's in there. Base hit, rolling to the wall. Here comes Griffin around third. The relay is not going to be made. Griffin scores. The game's over. Red Sox win it, 9-8.
The Red Sox success story was a total team effort, but the 2 players who kept coming through were the rookie tandem of Rice and Lynn. Lynn showed his stuff that big night in Detroit with 10 RBIs. Rice demonstrated his awesome power the night of July 17th, when he became only the 6th player to hit a ball over Fenway's center field fence.
Here's Rice, struck out his first time up, as Busby's had a funny 2 innings. Scored on 5 times and 5 strikeouts. Long drive, way, way back out of sight. Over the American flag and out of here. Home run, Rice. Man alive, did he get all of that one. That might be the longest one he's hit this year. Otis didn't even move. It disappeared somewhere in the folds of the American flag.
Then 6 days later, Jim Rice displayed his fielding prowess by robbing Minnesota's Glenn Borgman of 2 home runs. Here's the pitch by Maret. Borgman swings and sends a long, high drive down into left field near the line. Rice going for it. This may be out of here. It is up. It is caught by Jimmy Rice as he leaps up and takes a home run away from Borgman, leaping and taking the ball in the air, coming down, and nobody knew that he had it, but he has the baseball, and Borgman is out. A sensational catch by Jim Rice. Maret, all set.
comes in with his pitch. There's a long drive, deep toward left center field this time. Lynn goes for it. Rice goes for it. Rice racing full tilt toward the wall. He leaps up. He's got it. A fine running catch again by Jim Rice. And Borgman again is robbed of extra bases.
Late in July, the Sox travel to New York for a four-game showdown at Shea Stadium. After dropping the opening game, the Sox bounced back to win the second game, which was highlighted by two sensational fielding plays by shortstop Rick Burleson. Bases full, Red Sox leading 1-0. Here is the set by Reggie Cleveland. And the pitch. Herman sends a bouncer past Cleveland towards center field. It is cut off by Burleson going to his left. Throws over to Doyle, a force out. Munson scores. The game's tied 1-1, but Burleson saved another run. So now there are two outs, and Sandy Alomar, the number nine hitter in the Yankee order, at the plate. Reggie Cleveland ready to pitch to him. Runners at first and third, two outs, and the game tied 1-1. Here's the set by Cleveland. And here it comes. And there's a ground ball again past the mound, up toward the middle. Burleson flashes to his left, dies. He's got it. Flips to Doyle. They've got him. They retire the side on another great play by Rick Burleson, saving another run, and the game is tied 1-1.
Then in a big doubleheader on a warm July Sunday, the Yankees swallowed a double dose of southpaw cyanide as first Bill Lee, then Roger Maret shut them out. In the ninth inning of a scoreless first game, Rick Miller hooked the catfish.
Now the cat stands in again as Miller, slightly bent at the knees, looks out. Here's the pitch to him. He swings and sends a drive to left center field. Base hit. It's going to be in there. Lynn scores. Miller has a single, and the Red Sox lead 1-0. The ball gets by second base, and Miller will go to second.
Then in the bottom of the ninth, Fred Lynn turned in the defensive gem of the season.
Lee getting a sign from Blackwell. Pitch to Greg Nettles. Swings, drive to left center field. Maybe a gapper. Lynn is running. Lynn is going. He's got it. It's a great catch. A great catch by Freddie Lynn. What a catch by Lynn. He outran that ball in the alley in left center field, and Red Sox fans are going ape out here. There's a pop-up by Chambliss. This may be it. Heiss comes in. Heiss wants it. He has it. Falls down. The game is over. Bill Lee has shut out the Yankees, and the Red Sox win it 1-0. Everybody's waiting for Lynn as he comes in, and they're grabbing him. This is World Series time.
Then in game two of the twin bill, Roger Maret was dynamite.
Here's the pitch. And there's a fly up right field. Miller's there. He's got it. The ball game's over. And Maret has a shutout. The Red Sox have a double shutout over the Yankees and now lead New York by 10 games.
The next night in Boston, Carlton Fisk had five RBIs to lead another cardiac comeback by the Red Sox.
Rammed up the middle in the center field. Base hit. A run scores. Here comes Lynn in the third. He's beat it. Throw to second base. Fisk is in at second. He's safe. 2-0 Boston.
All right, three balls, one strike. Rice to the short lead. Here's the delivery. Long drive by Fisk. Way back, left field, going. It is gone over everything. A drive by Carlton Fisk. Deep left center field, and it is a new ball game, baby. Pledge has done it again. Darwin takes off. Here's the throw on down to second. He is out. Carlton Fisk laid it on the money, and Darwin got a good running jump. Fisk fired him down.
Carlton takes a deep breath. One ball, one strike. The outfield's in. Here's the pitch. Fisk swings. Base hit to center field. Game's over. The Red Sox win it 7-6 in the ninth.
In August, the Sox took off on a 15-game road trip, which many thought would be a repeat of last year's death march. It wasn't. The Sox won 9 of 15 and played inspired baseball. Witness this game-winning pinch hit by Doug Griffin against the Brewers. Rick Austin of the Brewers in a jam right now. The Red Sox with a threat here. Bases full. Heiss at third, Burleson at second, and Dwight Evans at first base. A tie ball game right now, and it's right up to Doug Griffin, who's come up the bench a lot of times this year to deliver important hits. Griffin stands in from the right side. Austin, the southpaw, gets set. Working, and here's the pitch. There's a drive into left field. It is dropping in there for a base hit. Heist comes across to score. The bases remain loaded, and the Red Sox go out into a 3-2 lead. And this tape measure shot off the bat of Dwight Evans in Chicago.
There goes a long drive, deep left field, way back. It is gone into the upper deck. New ball game.
And this clutch hit by Denny Doyle to beat the White Sox.
Denny looks out, waving the black bat. Here's the pitch. Ground ball, right side, base hit. Into right field. Burleson running for the plate. Kelly throws to the plate, not in time. The Red Sox go ahead. And runners are at second and third. It's 4-3.
It's Denny Doyle who wanted you now because of the way you've been playing. Things have really worked out well for you, and you look awful happy.
Needless to say, I came from a bad situation where we weren't winning at all, and I wasn't playing. And it was frustrating in that I knew that I could help a ball club, whether it be a winner or whatever. And it's really gratifying, this experience right here, the situation I'm in.
When the Red Sox announced the acquisition of Doyle back in June, the news was met with a collector's yawn. But Denny hit 300 for the Sox and fashioned a 22-game hitting streak, longest in the American League in 1975. Another important midseason acquisition by General Manager Dick O'Connell was relief pitcher Jim Willoughby. Witness this big save in July.
And the pitch. Ground ball hit fair to third. Petrocelli has it over to first. Game's over. Red Sox win their seventh in a row. And Jim Willoughby gets a save. Burroughs grounds out, and the Red Sox sweep the Texas Rangers. They sweep the homestand, seven in a row.
And then there was Bob Heiss, a valuable performer all season, who filled the breach as the Red Sox infielder during Rico Petrocelli's absence.
The pitch, Heiss wraps it. Fair ball, down past third, bouncing off the railing. This scores Burleson. Heiss going for two. Here comes a throw. No tag made. It's a double for Heiss. And he knocks in a run. It's now 5-1. So Heiss gets a double and drives in a run, and Bobby is 2-for-3 tonight. He has been quite a fill-in lately.
Then came September. The Sox were gamely holding on to the lead as they came down the home stretch. Closing fast, as always, were the Baltimore Orioles. On September 3rd and 4th, the Sox met the Orioles for two crucial games in Lord Baltimore's hometown. The Orioles needed a sweep to close the gap. But instead of sweeping, they got swept, 8 games behind the pennant-crazed Bo Sox. Cecil Cooper out-dueled a Jim Palmer pitch in the 10th inning of the first game.
The pitch by Jim. Long drive by Cooper. Right field. It's deep. It's deep. It's deep. And it is off the wall. Bouncing away. Cooper's at second. On his way to third. And the throw coming on. He's in with a triple. Cecil Cooper just narrowly missed a home run. Now they rule it home run. They rule it home run. But the ball hit over the wall and then bounced back into play. Called by the first base umpire, Larry Barnett. Here comes Earl Weaver. Red Sox lead 3-2 on a home run by Cooper.
Then in the second game, the Orioles came unglued early.
Bases full and one out. Infield at double play depth. The pitch to Rice. Ground ball toward third. Robinson steps on the bag, throws to first, and gets away from Lee May. Run scores. Here comes Lynn. He's going to score. And in the third goes Jim Rice. Oh, did they mess that up?
That's all the Sox needed as Drago and Pohl held the Birds to just one run.
Here's a set by Drago. Here's the pitch. Rich strikes out, swinging. Ball game's over. The Red Sox lead by 8 games.
The Orioles were on the endangered species list when 2 weeks later they came to Boston for another important 2-game series. On September 16th, Louis Tiant and Jim Palmer hooked up in a real pitcher's duel. Rico Petrocelli put the Red Sox in front with a home run.
Scoreless tie here in the third. Palmer and Tiant for it.
Long drive by Petrocelli. Deep left field. It is gone for a home run.
Another home run just for safety's sake by Carlton Fisk. And El Tiante did the rest.
Palmer to Fisk.
There goes the drive. Deep left field. Hit way back. Going. It is gone.
He's working on a shutout now in the ninth. The gap is in right center field on Ken Singleton. The arm around, the pitch. Fly ball, right center field. Freddie Lynn wants it. He's under it. He has got it. Ball game's over, and the Red Sox win it 2-0 and 5.5 in front.
you might say, one more time, there's pandemonium on the field. Well, I wish you'd been here to hear the standing ovation that Louis Tiant got. And listen to this. This is something new. Louis, Louis. It's a big chant here in Boston now.
On Sunday, September 21st, the Sox were having a terrible time with the usually helpless Tigers. They blew an early lead, and tragically, Jim Rice was hit by a pitch and subsequently finished for the season.
Watch it. He is hit. He's hit again on the hand. Jim Rice. Second time he's been hit on the hand or arm this year, and he is in pain as he bends over. He got it on the left wrist or hand, and that's a tough break for Jim.
In the ninth, the Sox staged a rally, and Denny Doyle worked his magic again.
Pence leans in. He pitches, and Doyle sends a ground ball, hits the first base bag, goes into right field. Here's Miller scoring. Here comes Benicas to score. The throw to second base, not in time, and the Red Sox go into the lead.
The Sox then went to New York and shot down the Yanks 6-4 in a driving rainstorm. The rain continued for 3 days and three nights, and everyone prayed to the sun god for it to end. Finally, on September 26th, the Sox returned to action, and Louis Tiant and Reggie Cleveland proved invincible. In game one of the doubleheader, Tiant threw a five-hitter at the Tribe.
Tiant in quest of his 18th win. Here it is. Curve ball, pop foul. Fifth may have room. Goes back near the screen. Under it. He's got it. Louis has a shutout. The magic number is three.
Then in the second game, Reggie Cleveland repeated Louis' five-hit shutout performance.
3-1 pitch. Rides in and is hit deep and high toward left. Backboard, Rick Miller at the wall. He's got it. Game's over. Red Sox win 4-0. Sweep the doubleheader and the magic number is now two.
With the magic number down to two, Sox fans waited to hear the outcome of the Saturday night twin bill in New York between the Orioles and the Yankees. When it came, it was good news. It sounded like this. Play over. The Red Sox were the new Eastern Division champions. They had beaten the pressure applied by the Orioles, beaten the curse of witch doctors, and beaten the monsoons of September. Now, it was on to the playoffs and hopefully the World Series. But first, the Sox had to handle the challenge of Charlie Finley's band of mustachioed marauders, the reigning champions of the baseball world. So the Red Sox had disposed of the Baltimore Orioles and had taken the Eastern title by a healthy margin. Now it was on to the best of five playoff games against the defending champion Oakland A's. These were the fabled A's of legend and song. They were also the steel-belted, pressure-proven A's of three straight world championships. The big question mark before the playoffs began was how would the daring young Red Sox handle the postseason pressure? The answer was not long in coming. In the opening game of the playoffs at Fenway Park, Yaz led things off with a single. That brought up Carlton Fisk, and the A's made their first in a series of errors that would plague them throughout the playoffs.
Ground ball to third. Handel can't handle it. It goes into the corner in left field. Yastrzemski comes around to third. He's being waved on. He heads for the plate. The ball is knocked down by third baseman Bando, and the Red Sox lead 1-0.
With Fred Lynn up, Phil Garner booted one for another run.
Ground ball right side. Garner at second base. Bottles the ball. Can't play it. Here comes Fisk to the plate. The throw. Not in time. 2-0. Red Sox.
The uncharacteristic sloppy play of the A's was contrasted by the brilliant fielding of the Red Sox.
2-2 pitch. Pop foul. First base side. May be playable. Fisk over. So's Cooper. Fisk looking. He leaps and he's got it. Nice catch by Carlton Fisk in the crowd.
The 2-0 pitch to Billy Williams. Fly ball, deep left center field. Yastrzemski going back. Leaps at the wall and makes the catch. Carl Yastrzemski in front of the lineup board. Leaped high and grabbed Billy Williams' bid for extra bases to retire the side.
With the game still up for grabs in the seventh inning, the Red Sox exploded for five runs.
Holtzman works. A drive left field. That's going to get in for a base hit. Is around first on his way to second. Here's the relay coming in, and Dewey slides. He's got a double. Holtzman gets set again. Burleson right down on the bat. Swing, ground ball, base hit. to score. Here's Burleson going for two. And he is in there, and they're having trouble picking the ball up and left. Burleson turned second and then darted back in there. It's 3-0 Boston. Ground ball up the middle. Big hit. Here's Burleson digging around third. He'll head on to the plate, and he will score. 4-0 Boston. Swing and a miss. The runner breaks. The throw not handled by Campanaro. A stolen base by Benica. The pitch. Fly ball. Out into left center. North has got it. Benicas is tagged. North drops the ball. And Benicas will score. Doyle is safe. Billy North tried to throw the ball before he got it and dropped it. And it's 5-0 Boston. Line drive. Base hit. Center field. Doyle speeds for third. The throw will come back into second. And Lindblad has been touched for a hit. Paul Lindblad. Tall, veteran softball. Works. Fly ball, deep left field. Washington is back at the wall. He'll play it off the wall. One run is home. Here comes Fisk. He's on the way. Throw to the plate. Not in time. Two more runs score. It's 7-0 Boston. Claudel Washington could have caught the ball. It fell right at the base of the wall.
But Louis Tiant, El Tiante, was magnificent to the end.
Crowd hollering. They're getting up. All of them starting to rise down around the third base side and the first base side. All of them getting up, shouting, Louis, Louis, all for Tiant. Listen to them. The pause by Tiant. The pitch. A little pop-up, third base side. Petrucelli under it in foul ground. He's got it. The Red Sox win by the score of 7-1, and they take a 1-0 lead in the playoffs.
In Game 2, the A's came back like wounded bulls. Reggie Jackson started it off with this two-run shot.
Pitches, long drive, hit to right field, way back, and it is gone. Home run, Reggie Jackson into the bleachers, 2-0 Oakland.
In the fourth inning, the Sox came back. With Doyle aboard, Yaz lost one.
Fly ball, deep left center field, way back, toward the wall, toward the screen, it is up into the screen. Home run, Yastrzemski, 3-2 Oakland.
In the sixth inning, Yaz got it started again with a double, and Fisk drove him home.
A drive by Yaz, left field, and Rudy is going to have to play this one off the wall. Yastrzemski on his way to second base. He's in standing up with a double. And again, Yastrzemski has used the wall. Line drive, left center field, base hit. Yastrzemski around third. He's in to score, and Boston will lead 4-3.
With the A's rallying in the seventh, Dick Drago came out of the bullpen to strike out Billy Williams, and Fred Lynn turned a potential hit into an exciting double play.
Drago works, and the drive on out into center field. Here comes Lynn on. He's got it, and Harper is going to be doubled up. He was running all the way, and a double play, and Drago's out of it.
Time and again, the old pros came through in the clutch for the Red Sox. In the seventh inning, it was Rico Petrocelli's turn.
Fingers at a full count of 3-2. Here's the delivery.
In the eighth inning, Freddie Lynn drove in the final run of the game, and Dick Drago continued to bewitch the bewildered A's.
Here's the set by Dick Drago. Here's the pitch. Ground ball toward the middle. Cut off by Burleson. Flips to Doyle. They've got the force out, and the Red Sox have won two. A force out from Burleson to Doyle. Dick Drago gets a save for Roger Maret.
On the verge of elimination, the A's returned home to Oakland to face Rick Wise. No one in his wildest dreams would have predicted a Red Sox three-game sweep of the world champions. But the combination of perfect Red Sox execution and the lack of execution by the A's led to their downfall. Witness the fourth inning. Fred Lynn at the plate.
There's a line drive to left. Washington comes on. He's got it and drops the ball. And Lynn digs on into second base. He's safe.
For Rico Petrucelli and Carl Yastrzemski, it was 1967 revisited. Rico drove in a run with this hit.
Holtzman brings it into the right-hand hitter, and a drive to right field, base hit. Here comes Lynn around third. Jackson falls down. Red Sox lead 1-0.
Then Yaz came up with this super play on Reggie Jackson.
Two outs, nobody on. 1-0, last half of the fourth inning. Wise brings it in, and Jackson lines in the left field, base hit. Yastrzemski goes over, backhands it. Jackson's going to go for two. Here's the throw coming on. He is out. Captain Carl Yastrzemski, leading the troops again, went over, backhanded the ball, and fired a perfect strike to Denny Doyle to cut down Reggie Jackson.
With the old boys leading the way, the kids and the newcomers followed suit. Rick Burleson doubled.
And the pitch, dang. Fair ball, down past third and into the left field corner, and Burleson's on his way to second base. He goes in standing up with a double.
Denny Doyle drove him home.
Holtzman works. There's a shot into right field. It's going to fall in for a base hit. Here's Burleson around third. He'll score, and Boston leads 2-0. Denny Doyle has done it again.
Then Yastrzemski singled, Fisk singled, and the Red Sox ran the bases with abandon.
There's a shot into right field. That's a base hit. Here is the runner going to third. Jackson's throw is coming on, and he's in there. Oh, Yastrzemski now is 2-for-3. All right, runners on, first and third. Yes, at first, Denny Doyle over third. Here's the pitch to Fisk, and a little looping drive on out into center field, and it falls in for a base hit. A run scores. Yastrzemski goes to third. Boston leads 3-0. Yes, the runner at third. Fisk on at second. Ooh, and a base hit here could break it open. One ball, two strikes on Fred Lynn. Here's the pitch into the dirt. Gets away. Here comes Yastrzemski down. He scores as the ball gets away. And Bando comes on to recover, and it's 4-0 Boston. Wild pitch charged to Lindblad.
In the bottom of the eighth, the A's threatened to pull it out. Dick Drago came out of the bullpen in relief of Rick Wise. With a dangerous Joe Rudy at bat, Drago served up a double play ball.
Bando at third, Jackson on at first. Drago is set. Here's the pitch. Ground ball hit down to Burleson. On to Doyle for one, on the first. They've got two! And Dick Drago with one pitch gets out of it on a 6-4-3 double play.
And in the ninth, Drago continued his magic as the Sox pulled off their incredible three-game sweep by winning 5-4.
Three balls, two strikes, two outs. Right side of the infield deep. Cooper laying back. Drago getting set with a payoff pitch once again. Pauses. Pitches. Ground ball past Drago. Charged by Doyle. Goes to first. The Red Sox win the pennant. The Red Sox win it. They're all out on the field as they have beaten the Oakland A's 3 in a row.
Looking back on it, it was a miracle of sorts. In April, who would have predicted the Red Sox would beat out the Yankees or the Orioles in the Eastern Division? Who could have foreseen the fabulous rise to stardom of rookies Rice and Lynn? Who could have foreseen Rick Wise coming back to win 19 games? Who, in the farthest reaches of their imagination, could have foreseen a sweep of the A's and a World Series berth for the Red Sox? You had to pinch yourself to believe it. But there were the Super Sox in friendly Fenway Park against the Cincinnati Reds. The Big Red had 8 wins in the regular season and blown past the Pittsburgh Pirates in 3 straight playoff wins. What were the Sox chances? Ask Sparky Anderson.
They must be great. They beat the Athletics, the world champs, 3 times and knocked them off in 3 straight. So they must be something else. I hope they're not that good, because if they are, we won't even be in the same ballpark.
Game 1 was a pitching masterpiece for 7 innings. Cincinnati ace Don Gullett matched Louis Tiant pitch for pitch. Then in the 7th, Tiant took the offense into his own hands.
Swung on and hit hard to left field. A base hit. Louis Tiant at a breaking ball.
Dwight Evans tried to move him along and did more than his job.
Evans a hit in 3 times. Pitch, he squares, bunts at first base side. Gullett up with the ball, shot at second base, and he threw it away. Dion up, starts to third, now holds up as the throw comes back to second base.
Next came Denny Doyle.
2 on, none out for the Red Sox. Pitch, swung on, bouncing ball, left side, a hit to left. Dion will get the stop sign at third base. As Doyle gets one to left field, a base hit that fills the bases with Red Sox and nobody out.
With the bases loaded, Captain Carl delivered.
Now the sacks are jammed, nobody out, a 1-1 count of the pitch. Swung on and looped into right field. It's going to be in for a hit. Here comes Dion. Here comes the throw to the plate. It's cut off by Perez, and the Red Sox are on the board. Dion missed the plate, but the Reds did not see it, and he went back to get it.
Rico delivered a big 2-run single.
Petrucelli hits a shot by Concepcion into left field. Here's Foster throwing toward the plate, cut off by Rose, a two-run single by Petrucelli, and it is 4-0 Boston.
And Burleson and Cooper kept the parade moving.
McEnany with the look in, the check and the pitch, swung on, base hit left field. Here comes Fisk rounding third. Here's Foster's throw plateward. It will not be in time. Throw to second, no. The hits are ringing out in the Boston seventh inning. Here's Cecil Cooper as a Red Sox bat around. He swings, hits a fly ball into deep right field. Griffey going back, still on the move, and on the track he makes the catch. But the tag at third, and going to third base also is Rick Burleson as a run scores from Petrucelli at third base. It is now 6-0.
Like a matador in a bull ring, Louis Tiant finished off the Reds to the delight of the crowd as the Sox took the series opener 6-0.
1-2 pitch. Ground ball left side. Diving grab by Petrucelli. Gets up, throws, and this one's over. A fine, fine play by Rico Petrucelli on a ball hit to his glove side, and Louis Tiant is being mobbed, and Boston has come away with a victory in the first game of this 1975 World Series.
In Game 2, Bill Lee pitched an out-of-space masterpiece until rain halted the game in the bottom of the seventh inning. The long rain delay gave the bewildered Reds a chance to regroup. Johnny Bench's double in the ninth sent Bill Lee to the showers. Then Griffey and Concepcion combined to give the Reds a 3-2 win. With the series tied at one game apiece, Riverfront Stadium became center stage for the baseball world. Carlton Fisk got the Red Sox going with this bases-empty shot in the second inning.
There's a blast deep left. Forget about it. It's gone. A home run for Carlton Fisk.
Joe Morgan's glove robbed Rico and the Sox of a potential run.
Curveball's hit up the middle. Morgan backhanding the ball. Makes the play. Great play. Joe Morgan saved a run with that one.
In the bottom of the fourth, Johnny Bench put the Reds in front 2-1.
And they're roaring here. There was the unlikely sight of Tony Perez stealing second. Two down. That wakes the Red fans up. And Bench hits the fly deep to left. Going, going.
In the fifth inning, the Reds hit back-to-back homers for the first time in World Series competition since the 67 Red Sox.
Wise kicks and throws. Breaking pitch, line deep to left field. Back toward the wall. It is up. It is gone. Home run. Concepcion. Red Sox now trail 3-1. Long drive right center field. Evans back near the wall looking up. He can't get it. Home run. 4-1 Cincinnati.
A Pete Rose triple and a Joe Morgan fly ball gave the Reds a commanding 5-1 lead. But as they have all season long, the Red Sox battled back, scoring one in the sixth and another in the seventh on Bernie Carbo's pinch-hit home run.
Left-handed batter, inside-out stroke. He lined to left field in the ninth inning of Game 2. Fly ball, deep left field. Back it goes, and it's over the wall for a home run for Bernie Carbo. Do they call it a homer? They do. It's got to be. He stopped at second base. He wondered where the ball was. That one just got over the yellow line and disappeared over the first fence for Carbo's home run. And he comes back to haunt his former ball club and bring the Red Sox one run closer. It is now Cincinnati 5 and the Red Sox 3.
And in the ninth, Dwight Evans tied it.
The outfield straight away on Evans. They don't claim the pull against Eastwood. Goes for one, high drive to left field. Back near the wall goes Foster. At the wall, he can't get it. The game is tied up. All tied up as Dwight Evans homers in the ninth with a man on. And the Red Sox have pulled even 5-5.
In the dramatic 10th inning, with Geronimo on first, one of the most controversial plays in World Series history took place.
So with Geronimo having led off the 10th inning with a base hit to right center field, Ed Armbrister will be the pinch hitter for Raleigh Eastwick. Right-hander Jim Willoughby into his stretch motion as he checks the runner at first base. Here's a pitch to the plate. Armbrister squares around to bunt, drops it out in front of the plate. Carlton Fisk up with the ball, taking a shot at second base, and he throws it away. Geronimo heading for third. Lynn throws that way, but not in time, and Armbrister goes to second. And now Darryl Johnson is out, charging plate umpire Larry Barnett, and he makes
interference against Armbrister. There may have been some contact between Carlton Fisk and Armbrister at the plate.
Joe Morgan ended it abruptly with a single. Leading 2-1, the Reds jumped off to a quick 2-0 lead in the first inning of the fourth game. But in the fourth inning, the Red Sox bounced back with a succession of base hits and the aid of a Cincinnati error.
Norman comes in, 3-1 delivery, is swung on, lined into left center, base hit. Geronimo cuts it off. He's going to hold Fisk to a single on an excellent play. All right, Norman goes into his stretch. Has a look at first. Now throws. Lynn hits a ground ball in the right field for a base hit. Fisk stops at second, and Lynn's on first. Now the check of the runners and the pitch. There's a high fly ball in the deep right center. That ball's well hit, way back, way back. It is at the base of the wall. It'll tie the game. Evans is going for three. The relay throw, and he is... The ball gets by the third baseman. Hit the screen in front of the Red Sox dugout and bounded back to Pete Rose. The infield is in. Rick Burleson's a batter. Tough little out, and he hits a line drive over the head of Concepcion in the left field. In to score is Evans. Here's a turn. Burleson's hustling for two, and he is safe. He beats it out. Hustling base running by Rick Burleson. One ball, one strike. The Red Sox have taken the lead 3-2 in the top of the fourth. Tiant drives it up the middle, a base hit. They're going to hold Burleson. The throw by Geronimo. Now they've got Tiant. He made a big turn. Perez was coming up. It looked like they had him hung up, and Tiant scrambled back to first. Tiant's at first. Burleson's at third, one down. Five hits by the Red Sox in this inning. That ball is dumped to the right. Perez fumbles the ball. In the scores, Burleson, he dumped it to the right side. Perez was charging, looking for the squeeze, and couldn't handle it. Everybody's safe, and the Red Sox have four runs in here in the fourth inning. Tiant's a big lead. Yastrzemski hits a fly ball, shallow right center. Coming hard, Geronimo. Can't get it. In the scores, Tiant, the throw is into second base. Yastrzemski has dumped the single in the center. Tiant scores. Five runs across for the Red Sox in the fourth inning.
The Reds battled back with two in the fourth. Then Louis shut them out until the dramatic ninth.
Tiant to the stretch. Looks to the plate. Here's the pitch, and the runner goes, and there's a pop-up to the right side. Yastrzemski calling for it. This could be it. Yastrzemski makes the catch, and the Red Sox have held on and defeated the Cincinnati Reds to even this 1975 World Series at 2 games apiece.
Game 5 belonged to Don Gullett. The hard-throwing southpaw overpowered the Red Sox, leading the Reds to a 6-2 victory and a 3-2 series edge. Game 6 was a long time coming. The monsoons of September returned again to Boston and rained for 3 straight days. The time off helped set the stage for one of the greatest games in World Series history. The Red Sox, with their backs to the wall, trailing 3-2, started Louis Tiant against Gary Nolan. The Sox opened fast with Lynn supplying the firepower.
Swung on, a fly ball, hit back into deep right center field. Griffey is back to the bullpen, and it is gone. With two men on base, and the Red Sox have bolted out in front at 3-0.
The Reds battled back to tie it 3-3 in the fifth, but Louis continued to twist and wiggle his way through the Reds lineup until the seventh, when George Foster solved the Tiant puzzle, driving in 2 runs with this double.
There goes Morgan at the fly ball to deep center. Lynn going back. That ball is off the wall. It'll score 2 runs. Foster's in a second, and Foster has doubled off the top of the center field wall and nearly had a home run.
And things look bleak for the Red Sox.
Geronimo hits a high drive down the right field line. That one's deep, and it is a home run for Cesar Geronimo. Right down the line it went and dropped into the right field grandstand. And the Reds now lead 6-3.
Moret came on to relieve Tiant and retire the Reds in order. Fred Lynn led off the Red Sox eighth by literally getting a hit off Pedro Bourbon.
The Red Sox are 3 runs down and facing extinction unless they can get a rally going. There's a drive off Bourbon's leg. They don't have a play on Lynn. Lynn's safe with a smash off the right leg of Pedro Bourbon.
A walk to Petrocelli was followed by 2 quick outs. Then, one of the most dramatic moments in World Series history occurred. Bernardo Carbo stepped up to hit for Roger Maret. Bernie had had a great first half of the season. He came into the series spotlight in game number 3 with a dramatic pinch-hit home run. Could Lightning strike twice?
2 balls, 2 strikes. The pitch. Carbo hits a high drive. Deep center. Way back. Home run! Carbo has hit his second pinch-hit home run of the series. That was a blast up in the center field bleachers. It came with 2 outs and a count 2-2. And the Red Sox have tied it 6-6.
That record-tying thunderbolt gave the Sox a new lease on life and rekindled the drooping spirits of the 35,000 fans at Fenway. It set the stage for the bizarre night as Denny Doyle drew a walk. Yaz drilled a single to right, and Carlton Fisk walked, loading the bases with nobody out for Fred Lynn.
The Reds have the infield in, the outfield very shallow, and the pitch. There's a high fly ball down the left field line. It's going to be close. It is caught by Foster. Here's a tag. Here's a throw. He's out! A double play. A double play. Foster throws him out.
The score remained tied at 6-6 up to the 11th inning. And maybe it was fitting and proper that this thrilling game played by these two dynamic teams should go to extra innings. This was not just another World Series. It was baseball at its best, entertainment at its best. Just when you think you've seen it all, up pops another new vaudevillian with a topper. When you think of great World Series outfield plays, you think of Al Gianfrido's catch off the bat of Joe DiMaggio against the Yankees, or Willie Mays of the Giants and his over-the-shoulder grab of a long fly ball by Vic Wirtz. Now there's a new one to add to the list. Dwight Evans against Joe Morgan. And Sparky Anderson, as gracious in defeat as he was in victory, called it the greatest catch he had ever seen. Given the time, place, and circumstance, it probably was.
The pitch. There's a long shot to deep right. Back goes Evans. Back, back. And what a grab! Evans made a grab and saved a home run on that one. Throws the first for a double play as Evans robbed Joe Morgan of a home run, jumping high in the air and snagging that ball out of the right field grandstand. Well, here is some right fielder.
Dick Drago had pitched 3 innings of superlative relief. In the 12th, Rick Wise came out of the bullpen and had it when he needed it most.
2 balls, 2 strikes, 2 outs, 2 on. Wise, looking down through the spectacles, gets the sign. The pitch jams him. Strike 3 call. Wise strikes out Geronimo, and that ends the inning.
The crowning moment of the 75 Super Sox season took place at 12:30 a.m., October 22nd, Eastern Daylight Saving Time, at Fenway Park, Boston, Massachusetts, in the 12th inning of Game 6 of the World Series.
Game tied, 6-6. Darcy pitching. Fisk takes high and inside. Ball one. Freddie Lynn on deck. There have been numerous heroics tonight, both sides. The 1-0 delivery to Fisk. He swings. Long drive. Left field. If it stays fair, it's gone. Home run. The Red Sox win. And the series is tied 3 games apiece.
Fisk hit a 1-0 pitch. They're jamming out on the field. His teammates are waiting for him. The ball hit the foul pole, and the Red Sox have sent the World Series into Game 7 with a dramatic 7-6 victory. What a game. This is one of the greatest World Series games of all time.
As the fates would have it, the Red Sox 1975 Championship Express would be derailed in the ninth inning of the 7th game of one of the greatest World Series ever played. Ironically, a blooped single with 2 outs by Joe Morgan would be the pin that burst the beautiful balloon. The true beauty of baseball is not so much the eventual outcome, but the excitement of a pennant race, the splendor of the individual, the effort of the team, and the memories of a group of men who did it their way.
There's a long shot.
to deep right. Back goes Evans. Back. And what a grab! Evans made the grab and saved a home run on that one. Throws the first for a double play.
The 1-0 delivery to Fisk. He swings. Long drive. Left field.